Across the world, Mark International will stay in solidarity with Palestinians. The leader of Lebanon's resistance movement, Hezbollah, says Israel has failed to achieve any of its goals in Gaza. And the commander of Iran's IRGC says Palestinians will continue their resistance and achieve final victory. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisum Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. People across the world have taken to the streets to mark International Quds Day as Israel continues its genocidal war.
The International Quds Day this year comes following Israel's airstrike on the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus that killed seven Iranian military officers. This latest Israeli attack, together with over 6 months of regime's genocide in Gaza, prompted thousands of Iranians to pour into the streets across the country to mark Quds Day.
Recently, there was an incident in which we were all heartbroken and devastated, as two of the top Iranian generals were killed and our country's embassy was air targeted. This act was against international and human rights law. As an Iranian and a Jew, we condemn this issue.
Quds Day is commemorated all over the world on the last Friday of Ramadan. It is a day of international solidarity with the Palestinian people. Just like previous years, the Iranian Jew community also joined other protesters to express their support for Palestinians in Gaza. This community believes that the United Nations and the Western countries have been totally inactive over the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip.
We are not anti-Semites, but we are anti-crime. We are anti-killing. And in one word, we are anti-Zionists. And we live in peace with each other in Iran, with Jews. But we don't have any problem with Jews. We have problem with genocide, with killing, with Zionists.
We send a message to all young and free people around the world that humanity is in danger today. Hear our voice, our belief, and our goal. Down with Israel.
This year, the International Quds Day comes amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Israel has cut off fuel, electricity, food, and water to Palestinians living in the besieged territory.
Iranians once again resonated voices of solidarity with Palestinians on International Quds Day and also strongly condemned the recent criminal acts of the Israeli regime leading to the martyrdom of two senior Iranian military personnel. When it comes to violation of human rights, nobody can stay silent. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
With a military parade, Hezbollah marked International Quds Day in Lebanon, where hundreds of Lebanese and Palestinians raised their fists in a show of support for the resistance group and its leader. Hezbollah Secretary General underscored the significance of the Lebanese front and raised his voice in response to the Israeli threat, saying the resistance in Lebanon is fully prepared for any war.
The resistance in Lebanon does not fear war. It has managed battle in the last 6 months with a clear strategy and a vision which is complementary to the ongoing battle in the region. The resistance has managed the battle in a manner that would lead to victory while protecting Lebanon. However, it is fully prepared morally, mentally, and militarily for any war which the enemy would regret having launched against Lebanon.
Hezbollah's leader downplayed the ability of the Israeli regime to launch a full-scale war on Lebanon with the fact that it is extremely exhausted and has achieved none of its declared objectives, except for the killing of innocent women and children. And despite the sacrifices, he said, the alliance of resistance is on the path to a historic and major victory.
Based on logic and political, military, diplomatic, regional, international and economic information, we are able to see very clearly what the leader of the Iranian revolution had said during the first days of the war, that Israel will be defeated and that Gaza will be victorious, and Netanyahu will have no choice but to stop the war, which will be a historic and major victory for the resistance in the region.
A significant part of the speech touched upon the Iranian role in supporting the resistance factions and the oppressed people of the region. It also confirmed that the Iranian response to the Israeli attack on the consular section of the Iranian embassy in Damascus will certainly come, and that everyone needs to be ready for what may lie ahead after this retaliation.
We are very close to a victory, since the blood that has been shed in Gaza and Lebanon and from all our brothers will be fruitful. This is why this year is exceptional, and it has a very positive impact on our hearts and has given us hope that a big victory is possible.
It's not just the duty of Muslims to take part in Al-Quds Day, but also as human beings all over the world, since it proves their humanity.
We are here not to support just Gaza, we are supporting all Palestine, the resistance in all region will elaborate Palestine and Al-Quds, and we will win, inshallah.
Hezbollah's leader also noted that Al-Aqsa flood has put Israel's existence in danger and exposed its vulnerabilities, and those who should be ashamed are the ones who have normalized ties with Israel.
Al-Quds Day this year is distinct on all levels. Loud actions have been made, not only in support of the Palestinian people, but in establishing what could turn into a tangible plan to end the occupation of the Holy Land. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Chanting slogans condemning Israeli aggression on Gaza and saluting Hamas and Hezbollah and voicing their rejection to the occupation, protesters flooded the streets of Istanbul's Fatih district. The demonstration that took off from Fatih Mosque after Friday prayer was held in commemoration of International Quds Day. The occasion is commemorated every year in Turkey. However, this year, the number of participants exceeded any other year.
This day is commemorated every year since 1982 and it aims to support the Palestinian cause. However, this year is different because of the ongoing genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip. Women and children are dying from bombing and hunger. This has exceeded the word genocide.
Demonstrators held banners reading "Ceasefire Now," "Free Palestine," and the placards that called on the Turkish government to cut trade with Israel. Protesters also denounced the Turkish government's attitude towards Israeli genocide in Gaza.
We are here today to call on the government to cut all trade and political ties with Israel and end any kind of agreement with it.
Protesters criticized Arab countries for not standing with their Muslim brothers and oppressed Palestinians. They also hailed the resistance axis for supporting Palestine.
Al-Quds is our dignity, our first Qibla. If we want to defend Palestine, we should be united. In my opinion, only the resistance axis is defending Palestine now. Yemen, a poor country, stood alone in the face of world countries. Can you imagine? We're 57 Muslim countries. We're not able to stand with oppressed Muslims. In Saudi Arabia, you're not even allowed to protest, to talk about Palestine. Is this normal?
People who gathered here confirmed that Al-Quds Day unites the Muslim nation. They also expressed their rejection to the occupation of Muslims' first Qibla. Turkish citizens reaffirmed their support for the Palestinian cause. People here say protests all over the world must continue day and night until a ceasefire is reached in the besieged Gaza Strip. Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Yemenis from all walks of life have staged massive rallies throughout the country to commemorate International Quds Day, expressing their unwavering solidarity with the Palestinian cause and resistance.
Yemeni people's commemoration of International Quds Day is in support of the Palestinian people who faced mass displacement as their lands were usurped by the Israeli regime. The international community is directly involved in selling Palestinian lands to the Israeli settlers, and this is clear through many international resolutions. The Palestinian cause is our priority. This cause must be given broader attention by Arabs and Muslims across the globe. We must realize that Israel is our main enemy, and we must not forget the words of Imam Khomeini when he described Israel as a cancerous tumor.
Protesters emphasized the significance of marking the International Quds Day as a reminder to the global community of the ongoing oppression and suffering that Palestinians face on a daily basis as a result of Israel's decades-long occupation.
It is very important to go out on a day like this to support the Palestinian cause. In future, we will celebrate the International Quds Day to celebrate the liberation of Palestine, and we celebrate it today as a prelude to that day. Recently, there has been an increasing worldwide interest in the Palestinian issue, and on this day, it has become the focus of global attention.
We came out today on the International Quds Day to say that we continue to support Mr. Abdul Malik al-Houthi and his position regarding Gaza in all circumstances, in war and peace. The Yemeni people will not get tired of continuing this support. Others stand with Israel and we tell them, you are miserable, whether you are in Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, or elsewhere.
Since the outbreak of Israel's genocidal war in Gaza last October, Yemenis have staged massive protests every Friday in a show of unity with the Palestinians and in support of Yemeni military's naval operations against Israel and its allies in the international waters.
While International Quds Day has been consistently marked by many people across the Muslim world and beyond, the event is much more significant this year due to the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza. International Quds Day rallies are seen here as an opportunity to unite the free people of the world in solidarity with Palestine, transcending ethnic and religious differences. Abdul Latif al-Washali, Sana'a.
The chief commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says that Palestinians in Gaza will continue their resistance until they achieve victory.
The message of Palestinians in Gaza is this. We have no problem to continue this resistance and continue fighting. Muslims should remain strong and united. We will defeat and bury the Israeli regime in Gaza.
Hossein Salami said Israel has no choice but to surrender and leave Gaza. He said the regime has suffered heavy political and economic blows and its collapse is near. The IRGC chief also slammed Washington's support for Tel Aviv, including vetoing several Security Council resolutions on Gaza ceasefire. Regarding recent Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria, Salami warned that no action will remain unanswered. The Secretary General of Hezbollah Resistance Movement says Israel has not achieved anything during its onslaught on the Gaza Strip.
Now, on the ground, no results have been achieved, and by negotiations, also no results, and all of the pressures on the Palestinian negotiators and all of the threats and all the intimidation, all the massacres have not weakened the Palestinian negotiators and have not made them make concessions in the main issues where no concessions should be made. It has failed in achieving any of the goals it declared. After 6 months, it failed in eliminating the resistance and specifically Hamas, whose name is mentioned. And after 6 months, they haven't succeeded in retrieving the prisoners. They retrieved some of them by talks. And after 6 months, Netanyahu, nor does the government of the enemy managing the war, they have no vision or a plan for the day after. They don't know what Gaza will look like, how Gaza will be managed in the next day, in the day after. Always very quickly.
Said Hassan Nasrallah was addressing a ceremony held on the occasion of International Quds Day. He said Israel has admitted that Operation Al-Aqsa flood revealed the regime's vulnerabilities. Nasrallah said Israel has no choice but to stop the genocidal war. Elsewhere in his remarks, the Hezbollah leader touched upon Tehran's promised response to the Israeli attack on the consular section of the Iranian embassy in Damascus. He said Tehran's response will come in due time and Lebanon trusts its allies in Iran.
The issue of the Iranian consulate is a turning point in the events which took place since October 7 until today. When we hear the statements of His Eminence, the leader, we know him. We've known him for tens of years, and we hear the statements of the officials in Iran. We can conclude, hence, very clearly, there's no need for someone to say that Sayyid was informed or he has his own information. Set this all aside. It's enough to hear the statement of His Eminence, the leader, and his speech later on. He spoke once or twice after the statement about the response, about Iran's courageous men, about the Israeli regret, and about the blow which Israel will be dealt. We can conclude to all those who are sitting down and asking and are speaking on social media and on the media, don't waste your time. Rest assured, be certain that the Iranian response to the attack on the consulate in Damascus will come, no doubt, against Israel.
Nasrallah had also said that Israel is convinced that Iran will respond to the attack, and that is why it is taking measures to deal with it. He said that the scale and other details of the Iranian response is part of the battle, and it is exhausting Israel psychologically and militarily. Nasrallah also reiterated Lebanon's steadfastness on the issue of Palestine and said Hezbollah is not afraid of a major war. The Hezbollah leader said the movement has not used its major weapons and capabilities just yet. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, I hope you've been reciting the Quran in the holy month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, an honor to be here. Holy month of Ramadan, unfortunately, it is quickly coming to an end, and I'm pretty sure that when the holy month of Ramadan ends, that we are really going to feel sad On one hand, you do feel happy because the holy month of Ramadan has successfully passed and you have been able to successfully pass this trial and this test that was there given to every single one of us. But at the same time, you do feel kind of sad, you know, because, and it's interesting, in the du'as of Sahifa Sajjadiyah by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, you know, we find that when he says farewell to the holy month of Ramadan, he says farewell in this manner, you know, like he's losing a companion, this generous friend that was with us for 29 or 30 days. And it's really beautiful, so we will be a little bit sad as well. But before the holy month of Ramadan is over, because we still have a few days and a few nights left, I hope you've been reading the Holy Quran. Now, you know, I know in one of our earlier programs in the holy month of Ramadan, we talked about the importance of reciting the Holy Quran. And so just in case, you know, the busy materialistic schedule and routine that we had, you know, it kind of made us forget to recite the Holy Quran in the holy month of Ramadan. Well, this is a very humble reminder to recite the Holy Quran in these last few nights that are remaining of the holy month of Ramadan. Let's not, you know, waste our time. Let's not, you know, not take advantage of these blessings that are left in these last few nights of the holy month of Ramadan, right? Its days are the best of days, its nights are the best of nights, its hours are the best of hours, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi himself has said.
Ramadanul Mustabin Jaa bin Nuril Mubin Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan al-Qanitin.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about reciting the Holy Quran in these last few nights of the holy month of Ramadan. Of course, you know, we have to keep in mind that we should have been reciting the Holy Quran in this holy month, but you know, for some reason we didn't listen to the earlier programs, or we were busy in this materialistic routine, you know, hamster wheel of ours that we could not get out of, or for whatever other reason, you know, maybe we were too tired, we were exhausted, the fasting was taking a toll on us, you know, for whatever reason, may Allah forgive us, we weren't able to recite the Holy Quran in this holy month. Well, we still have some time, and Allah the Almighty is always, if you will, with arms wide open, waiting to invite and welcome His creatures and His creations, whom want to come towards Him. So, of course, there's this famous tradition which we all, you know, listen to in the holy month of Ramadan from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who says that reciting one verse of the Holy Quran in this blessed month of Ramadan is like reciting the whole Quran in the other months of the year. So, you know, we still have a few nights left in the holy month of Ramadan. Why not go ahead and recite the Holy Quran? You know, I would like to say as much as we can. I will stick to that statement, as much as we can. There's only a few nights left. Now, this doesn't mean that we recite the, you know, as much as we can, and then, you know, after the holy month of Ramadan, we just don't even want to look at the Holy Quran anymore. This is why I'm saying as much as you can, as much as your capability, you know, and as much as it is enjoyable. The last thing that you want to do is force yourself to read, you know, the Holy Quran, even though you should force yourself to read at least one verse of the Holy Quran with its translation and kind of think about it and ponder over it. At least one. That you should force yourself, you know. And what's the beauty of the Holy Quran is that you will see, once you start to read the Holy Quran and you start to read the translation and kind of think over it, automatically you will start to want to read more and more.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is
parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Quds Day, time for solidarity with Gaza. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. This year, the World Quds Day is different from the previous ones, as the fabricated Zionist regime of Israel has launched an all-out genocidal war against the people of Gaza for 6 months. The world is witness to gruesome scenes of the crimes of Zionists in Gaza, while most of the so-called international organizations have kept silent, as the main international body, the United Nations, for a long time has turned into a machine of giving statistics and expressing sorrow towards the unprecedented crimes of the top epitome of terrorism, Israel. In view of this, the only way to get rid of this cancerous tumor in the region is to unite all Muslim nations and freedom-seeking people in the world. The father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, announced the final Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as the World Quds Day in a bid to draw attention of world Muslims towards the issue of Palestine and help uproot the cancerous tumor of Israel in the region. Since Imam Khomeini's announcement in 1979, Muslims and free-spirited people in the world have held demonstrations in support for Palestine. But this year, the World Quds Day has got high importance as the issue of Palestine has become the top priority for many nations all over the world. Zionists have tried for over 7 decades to depict the occupation of Palestine and the establishment of the fake Israeli regime as an inevitable process in the world. Therefore, from day one, they started to forge historical record for the Jewish state. They have always considered themselves as the chosen nation, which has been wronged and denied for their ancestral land. Historical research on Judaism and Israel reveals that almost all of the sources and references available in various circles have been produced and authored by the writers and historians of this current. In other words, there is no source outside the tight circle of Jewish community. Consequently, the result of research will be what the producers like. Ilan Papp from the British University of Exeter in his book 10 Myths About Israel and Shlomo Sant in his book The Invention of the Land of Israel expose a lot of historical forgeries of the Jewish ethnicity. Apart from efforts have been made to reveal the fabricated historiography on Israel, it seems that this trend has almost become expired due to the genocide and unprecedented crimes that have been wreaked upon innocent people in Gaza since October 7, 2023. Palestinian combatants dealt a very great blow to the Zionist regime in Operation Al-Aqsa Storm as they shattered the awe and pomp of the Israeli security, intelligence and military. This operation was a great mockery at the regime, which used to propagate itself as the most powerful military in the region. Zionists, in reaction to their humiliating defeat in Al-Aqsa Storm, launched an all-out war from air and ground against the tiny Gaza Strip with over 2 million people. They have justified their attacks with the pretext of annihilation of Hamas and freeing their captives, but 6 months after the Israeli aggression and genocide in Gaza, they not only have failed to reach their goals, but also they have sustained great losses and blows. Netanyahu and his racist clique in the Zionist cabinet haven't avoided any crime to achieve their illegal goals. More than 33,000 Palestinians have been martyred during the past 6 months, two-thirds of whom are children and women. Massacring of women and children is being done by the Jewish criminals to pressure Palestinian combatants and force them to capitulate to the dictates of Zionists. But the people in Gaza have resisted bravely and honorably against shortcomings, famine, thirst, and lack of basic medical necessities. Zionist troops have resorted to every inhumane way to break the morale of the Palestinian resistance, including rape of women and girls. Reem Al-Salem, the UN Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women and Girls, pointing to the broad arresting of Palestinian women and girls after October 7, 2023, said, "A silence against such crimes is prevalent due to the fear of victims from revenge. We may not be able to know the real number of victims for a long time." Zionist officials in all levels have explicitly uttered their intentions and racist stances in their speeches. Ex-Mossad official Rami Ikra said that every child over the age of 4 in Gaza should be included in collective punishment. An Israeli rabbi said in Tel Aviv, "No mercy should be shown even to the children. They should be killed too." Then he attributed his statement to verses from the Torah and interpreting it in a way that they have no right to life. Supporters of Zionists outside the occupied Palestine expressed their racist views without any conservatism or shame on massacring Palestinians. A Republican member of the U.S. House of Representatives said on the video of amputated children and the tax dollars paid to murder the children of Gaza, "In my opinion, we should kill all of them." With the complaint of South Africa to the International Court of Justice, the court called for halting of aggression in Gaza. But the racist cabinet of Netanyahu defied the vote of the ICJ. Not only Zionists, but also its Western supporters, led by the United States, do not wield any pressure against Israel to stop the massacre of women and children in Gaza. The criticisms of some of the Western statesmen against Israel are just aimed at deceiving public opinion and portray them as human lovers. Support for the fake Zionist regime is the permanent policy of the Western regimes. This has been explicitly pursued for the past 6 months. The United States has used the veto power 87 times in the UN. Interestingly, 57 times of these vetoes have been applied in favor of the child-killer Israeli regime. We have heard many times the threadbare phrase, "Israel has the right to defend itself," but we have never heard that Palestine also has the right to defend itself. According to the foreign policy doctrine of the US and many Western regimes, Israel is the issue for which every humanitarian principle can be violated. The supporters of the Zionist regime don't like to pay attention to what Israel has done in Gaza to force the people of Gaza to defend. Mankind is facing a very ignominious phenomenon. After centuries of forging theories about human rights and ratification of the Convention of Children's Rights, man has trenched the point that from those who claim to defend human rights,
Although the officials of the so-called the only democracy in Middle East explicitly speak of killing all children of Gaza. The history of occupation and usurpation of Palestine did not start with October 7, 2023. For more than 75 years, Palestinians have sought their right to existence, which is blended with their identity. That is, ancestral land, history, language, and culture. More than 75 years ago, a cancerous tumor called Israel was invented and implanted in the region, which is not abiding by any convention, resolution, treaty, and human principle. Yet, history has proved that the wills won't be broken with massacre, genocide, and any kind of crime and bestiality. The true image of Israel has been unmasked to the world, and the Zionist regime has become the top symbol of savagery and crime across the world. Scores of millions of demonstrators in the streets and walled cities on World Quds Day are proof to this claim.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
Amid a surge in torture cases by the Zionist regime forces against Palestinians since October 7, 2023, there is an urgent need for health professionals to properly document such atrocities. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, torture remains a pervasive reality in Palestine, where countless individuals have endured unspeakable physical and psychological trauma at the hands of the Zionist regime forces. This has been an especially serious problem since the Gaza War began on October 7, 2023, with Palestinians telling Middle East Eye that they have been physically tortured with dogs and electricity, subjected to mock executions, and held in humiliating and degrading conditions. One man described how he was handcuffed, blindfolded, abducted, and detained in a metal cage for 42 days. Addressing such grave human rights violations demands a comprehensive approach, including the development of specialized skills for healthcare professionals tasked with documenting and treating survivors. Trained in the Istanbul Protocol for Torture Documentation, an expert, has dedicated himself to equipping fellow professionals with the necessary tools to navigate this challenging terrain. As violence continues to escalate, with torture not restricted to detention centers, but also witnessed in the streets of the occupied Palestinian territories and captured on video, it is more comprehensive than ever to bolster health workers' capacities to document such incidents, thus amplifying the voices of survivors in their pursuit of justice. Palestinians have been systematically oppressed for decades, with more than 800,000 arrested since 1967. Inside Zionist regime detention centers, many have faced brutal physical and psychological abuse that meets the stringent criteria for torture set forth by the United Nations. Key elements of torture include the international infliction of severe mental or physical suffering for a specific purpose, with the involvement of someone acting in an official capacity. The surge in cases since October 7th serves as a stark reminder of the urgent need to document these atrocities and hold perpetrators accountable before the international community. The torture tactics employed by the Zionist regime forces against the Palestinians are as varied as they are barbaric, ranging from crude physical beatings to sophisticated no-touch techniques imported from global interrogation practices. The fabricated regime of Israel has also exported specific torture methods, such as the Palestinian chair stress position. In addition to inflicting excruciating pain through tactics such as suspension and simulated drowning, Israeli regime forces have employed psychological warfare, exploiting cultural sensitivities and individual vulnerabilities to amplify the suffering of their victims. Sleep deprivation is an essential part of psychological torture. Reports of sexual abuse, including rape and forced nudity, underscore the depravity to which detainees are subjected. The insidious combination of physical and psychological torture serves not only to punish, but also to extract coerced confessions. Such practices scar and traumatize survivors and their families, while intimidating the broader Palestinian community. Central to the efficacy of torture is its capacity to shatter the psychological resilience of victims, reducing them to a state of helplessness and dependency. Through systematic degradation and manipulation, interrogators erode the victim's sense of self, replacing it with a pathological identification with their abuser. This insidious dynamic distorts the victim's perception of reality and undermines their ability to articulate their ordeal coherently. Long after the physical wounds have healed, survivors grapple with myriad psychological consequences, including traumatic stress disorder, depression, and a profound distrust of others. These enduring psychological scars pose serious challenges to the documentation process as survivors navigate an inner labyrinth of trauma-induced memory deficits, confusion, and emotional distress. They might have difficulty recalling and recounting their experiences. Memory deficits, coupled with pervasive fear and distrust, often impede their willingness to engage in the documentation process. The very act of revisiting traumatic memories can trigger intense emotional distress or avoidance behavior, further complicating efforts to elicit coherent narratives. As healthcare professionals, the experts must remain attuned to these challenges, employing trauma-informed approaches that prioritize survivors' autonomy and well-being while seeking to uphold their right to truth and justice. In the face of such abhorrent human rights violations, the Istanbul Protocol offers a standardized framework for documenting torture that is grounded in compassion and human dignity. By equipping healthcare professionals with the necessary skills and resources, they can empower torture survivors to reclaim agency over their narratives, amplifying their voices in the pursuit of accountability and redress. As they strive to combat torture and uphold the rights of the victims, they should stand in solidarity with survivors, bearing witness to their pain and advocating tirelessly for a future free from oppression and impunity.
Midstream.
After 6 months of genocidal war on the Gaza Strip amid targeting thousands of civilians, whether by bombing homes over their heads or by siege and preventing the entry of food and medical aid, or by direct targeting, Zionist Israel has so far claimed the lives of more than 37,000 Palestinian martyrs, nearly half of them children. The Palestinian Statistical Center announced that the number of children killed as a result of the Israeli entity genocidal war on Gaza has reached 14,000 children whose lives and dreams will never be fulfilled. Meanwhile, Zionist Israel continues to wipe out entire generations in Gaza, with its soldiers competing to kill the highest number of children, as we all have watched them boast about it on different social media platforms. According to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, a child is killed every 15 minutes in the Gaza Strip since the beginning of the war. This large number of casualties comes not only as a result of bombing and aggression, but also starvation, which ranks second in killing children in Gaza. This is due to the Israeli occupation's blockade on the Strip and the prevention of humanitarian food or medical aid from entering the Strip. So far, more than 20 children have been killed due to drought and malnutrition in Gaza. Meanwhile, the occupation war jets and artillery continue their airstrikes and intense shelling on various parts of the Gaza Strip, targeting homes and displaced gatherings, resulting in hundreds of martyrs and wounded. The Zionist occupation forces also persist in their aggression against the Al-Shifa medical complex and its surroundings in western Gaza for a third consecutive week, carrying out executions, arrests, torture, and forced displacement of residents. Experts estimate that the quantity of bombs and explosives dropped on the Gaza Strip since October 7th of last year equals the destructive power of several atomic bombs like those dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, with more than 2,800 massacres in less than 6 months. This leads us to the Zionist doctrine of power, violence, and suicidal deterrence. What cannot be achieved by force is achieved by more force. Through the use of brute force, collective punishment policies, and targeting civilians in their lives and livelihoods, Zionist Israel seeks to push Palestinians towards what resembles learned helplessness. The intention behind this is to divert the thinking of the people under occupation away from the idea of liberation from the occupation, towards completely dismissing the idea of resistance. However, Zionist Israel acknowledges that its success in shaping the awareness of Palestinians remains limited, despite its boasting about its ability to deter states and organizations. Why? Because we are the natives to the land and they are just illegal colonial settlers. Welcome to the Middle East Stream. I'm Marwa Osman. Israeli entity genocide war against the Gaza Strip continues for its sixth month, characterized in recent days by the continued targeting of hospitals in general and specifically the Al-Shifa Hospital, as well as the commission of further atrocities at various levels. Israeli occupation military operations have also been marked by intensified airstrikes on Rafah, hindering aid entry and displacing even more residents. To discuss this issue with us from Damascus is independent journalist and very good friend of mine, Ms. Vanessa Beedi. Thanks a million for being with us. Vanessa, now 6 months into the genocidal Israeli occupation entity's war on the largest concentration camp on earth, which is known as the Gaza Strip, has Zionist Israel succeeded in achieving its aggressive objectives by settler crimes, Judaization, massacres, genocide, and ethnic cleansing?
No, absolutely not. In fact, the Zionist entity is losing on all fronts in the northern occupied territories. As we know, an estimated 100,000 settlers and various Zionist businesses have been forced out of that territory and to relocate to the south. And it's admitted even by the Zionist entity that it's very unlikely that there will be enough security for them to return. We know that the entire resistance axis, including, of course, Yemen, has shut down the arterial shipping lane, and that now Eilat, the southern port in the occupied territories, is being targeted on a very regular basis. In Gaza itself, and even in the West Bank, the Zionist entity has met, what is effectively a besieged, starved, deprived resistance with relatively small capability, and yet they're unable to defeat them on the ground. They can only take power, let's say, by bombing women and children and schools and hospitals and summarily executing unarmed and defenseless civilians on an almost hourly basis. The Israeli economy is on its knees. The morale within the military is also decimated. And they're facing a united resistance axis that has never been seen before, actually. And so, in my opinion, despite the horrors that we're seeing, as I said, on an hourly basis, particularly in Gaza, but also in West Bank, the Zionist entity is losing this war, even on the propaganda front. Their entire edifice of lies and victimhood has been eradicated.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vanessa, the historic epic battle inscribed by the Palestinian resistance in the Battle of the Al-Aqsa Flood Operation on October 7 has been deemed as one of the most persistent lies so far in the Zionist propaganda machine by the supporters of this genocidal Israeli entity as the main reason, the Al-Aqsa Flood Operation being the main reason behind the calamity that has surpassed so far the 1948 Nakba, by the way, with numbers and statistics. Look, I myself am tired of repeating the history for the people who refuse to acknowledge the right of resistance, the right of return, the right to people to live in peace in their own land. I'm not going to talk about that anymore, but if I am tired, do you think that the people who are actively under genocide that we are watching in real time on TV and on our smartphones, do you think that the Zionists have completely decimated the last shred of determination in the hearts and souls and minds of those people?
I think, if anything, what they've done is to strengthen the resolve. Of course, as I've said before, it's heartbreaking to see the images that are coming out of Gaza of starving children, of children that have been completely orphaned, eviscerated, lost legs, arms, limbs, etc. But if I speak to, for example, even the few friends of mine that I've managed to stay in contact with that are now in Rafah, there is no intention to leave Gaza despite the hardship that they're enduring. And in reality, what has the Zionist entity done? It's created an entire new generation of resistance, but not only among Palestinians, throughout the populations of the world. Because even those Arab states that have normalized relations with Israel, that have effectively tried to alleviate the pressure on Israel since the 7th of October, even in those countries, the populations are against their government's policy. Look at the protests that are now spreading across the Middle East, but across the entire world. So what the Zionist entity has actually done is to raise awareness in the world of the Palestinian issue, put it back on a world stage, and turn, you know, if you really want to be honest, we are all Hamas, we are all the resistance, mm-hmm. because the Zionist entity is exposed for its sadistic, savage, brutal policy, not only in Palestine, regionally and globally.
Well, Vanessa, for two decades, we have seen the Zionist-Israeli entity erecting the apartheid separation wall, which separates its colonies from the West Bank, for example, after seizing much of the West Bank's land, restricting the movement of the natives inhabitants in the West Bank, and turning their lives practically into just a living hell. The International Criminal Court of Justice ruled that that wall is illegitimate and it should be removed. Nothing changed. It also ruled that basically on the verge of ruling that what's happening in Gaza is a genocide, and nothing happened. And the UNSC issued a resolution for a temporary ceasefire. Nothing again happened. What are the options left after all of this Zionist aggression and global disregard of what's going on in Palestine?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we've seen to some degree a bit of a circus between the U.S. and the Zionist entity. We've seen recently Netanyahu, Hubris, really isolating the Zionist entity even more from its global supporters, from its support base. But despite all of that, of course, the U.S. and the U.K. and the EU nations that are embedded with Israel for various reasons have still been supplying the weapons and the bombs and the armaments that are on a daily basis massacring Palestinian people and children. And the numbers that we're hearing, in my opinion, are way lower than they are in reality. We know that these organizations like the UN massage and manipulate numbers in order to serve the agenda of those that have actual control of them. You know, the international community, such as it is, whether it's the UN Security Council, the UNGA, the ICJ, are powerless because they're under the control of the West and of its Zionist Frankenstein. The only option now is for the resistance. And we're seeing already that Israel, in order to survive in the region, is expanding the war in the region. It's bombed Syria in the last 3-4 days, every single day, targeting Hezbollah positions, targeting development centers, etc. They want to and they need to expand the war in order to survive, because mm-hmm. they're not going to survive as they are. And so now it becomes an issue of the resistance strategy to prevent the final solution, as the Zionists call it, in Gaza and in the West Bank.
Well, I share your sentiment to what's going on, and am very invested in how the world will react, if they will ever react, to any upcoming invasion of Rafah, and how the resistance will react, because that's what we are counting on right now. Thank you very much, independent journalist Vanessa Bealey from Damascus, for joining us to discuss this issue. Now, ladies and gents, stay with us, because we will next be talking about how the Palestinian people themselves are still actively supporting the resistance.
This is Midstream, and here is IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, in this weekly program, Marvo Osman discusses two important issues related to West Asia region with two political analysts. Midstream is with you every Friday on IRIB English Radio.
Now, a poll conducted by a leading Palestinian Institute for Opinion Polling showed that more than half of Palestinians believe that Hamas should govern the Gaza Strip once the current war ends, while only 11% want Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas to manage the territory. More details in the following report.
Over 50% of Palestinians, according to an opinion poll by a prominent Palestinian research institute, believe that Hamas should be in charge of the Gaza Strip after the current genocide ends. The Palestinian Center for Political and Survey Research, PCPSR, in Ramallah published the results last week in collaboration with the Conrad and Denor Foundation. Amid growing international concern over the increasing number of Palestinian civilian casualties as a result of the Israeli entity war against Gaza, now entering its sixth month. 59% of respondents in Gaza and the occupied West Bank said they wanted the Palestinian resistance Hamas to manage the Gaza Strip after the war. Only 13% of respondents hoped for the Palestinian Authority to return to control the sector, but under a different leadership than Mahmoud Abbas. The 88-year-old has seen a decline in popularity in recent years due to his failure to advance Palestinians' hopes of establishing a state and his reluctance to